All right, well, good evening, everyone. I'm here breaking in my my little high chair here. Okay.
Adult high chair.
And, you know, it's biblical, you know, because the Jesus, what did he do? He went by the seashore and he sat and he taught. Yes. Yes. Yes, sir. Yeah. So, with that being said, any updates on Pastor? Anything? Okay. Amen. Amen. All right. So, it's good to hear. So we're going to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. To the book of Hebrews. And we're going to go to chapter 11. And then we'll be focusing in on verse 24, 25, and 26. And then before we go to our media text, I want to use this verse as a launching pad. If you can hold your place there and go to Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. The Bible says in the book of Romans, "For therein is the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we're just thankful for the opportunity to give forth your word. I pray, Lord, that what you have wrote in your word, that we would mimic what you said and then make applications to our lives from the scriptures, that we would learn and glean from the truth that you have given us. And Lord, once again, we ask that you be with our pastor, watch over him, Lord, protect him, give him strength, Lord, and that you will bring him back home safely as well. So we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. All right. So today, the topic would be, my sermon is faith that influences our decisions. Faith that influences our decisions. One of the things, if you could recall, in your own personal life, whether you're a child who received Christ as your Lord and Savior or an adult, okay, you can think back to that day where by faith you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And because if you meant that in your heart, and God knows your heart, you know, and by repenting of your sins, it was during that day being obedient to the Lord in baptism and following in the truths of the scriptures that your faith influenced your decisions as you walk from that point on. So I always think back, and I'll never forget, as I reflect back on my own personal salvation as a 17-year-old, and because I made that decision, the Lord changed the course of my life. Because I made that decision to do that. All right? We're going to see some examples of a character in the scriptures that did the same thing. And the Lord changed the course of his life as well. So, Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, "The just shall live by faith." So, as we go back to the immediate text, I ask you to turn to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 24 through 26. We see the Bible says here, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the riches, than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So, we talk a lot about context, interpretation, and application. By way of introduction, the book of Hebrews, does indeed exalt Jesus of Nazareth as a divine Son of God and High Priest, and consequently making him the mediator between God and sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ is far better than all the shadows and figures of the Old Testament scriptures to whom they pointed. Therefore, the writer of Hebrews, which I believe is the Apostle Paul, gave his biblical perspective, which focuses on the person and the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The perfect God-man in person is superior over prophets, the angels, Moses, and a life of unbelief. So since the author cited the Hebrew Old Testament and not the Septuagint, he must certainly have directed the epistle to these Jerusalem Jews. Furthermore, animal sacrifices continued in Jerusalem, which the author, Paul, condemned. The center of all Judaism, including the temple, the Aaronic priesthood, the animal sacrifices, was at this time the city of David, Mount Zion, Jerusalem. The spiritual condition of the audience was the same as the mixed multitudes of the first generation of the covenant community. Those with a great deal of light, of which some received, but others rejected. So the author, Paul, addresses the epistle to the Hebrews, to the Jerusalem Jews, exhorting them to give up the Jewish practices, that is the animal sacrifices, that would keep them from receiving Jesus of Nazareth as their only Messiah, because sudden destruction was coming upon them in the form of Titus' dissemination of the Jews and desolation of the city and the temple. So what was this Titus dissemination? Well, in AD 66, the Jews revolted against the Roman Empire, causing Titus to sweep across Judea towards Jerusalem. Galilee was sacked in AD 67, and the entire Judean coast and north was subjugated to Titus by AD 68. So after Nero's committed suicide, in AD 68, the attack upon Judea intensified. So within the next year, in AD 69, there were four Roman emperors, concluding with Vespasian, who summons Titus to Jerusalem. There, Jerusalem was sacked, the temple was destroyed, and 1,100,000 Jews were killed by AD 70. So that was the Titus dissemination, all right? So therefore, this audience consisted of Jews and God-fearing Gentiles who professed faith in Christ and were baptized church members. So apparently, some were either practicing animal sacrifices, or were had some type of sympathy with this sinful practice and needed to obey the word of exhortation, or suffer damnation. So, Christ is superior to the life of unbelief, all right? So in chapter 11, as we summarize this, Christ is superior to the life of unbelief because he had a long history of those who had believed in his final sacrifice, which was prophesied from the beginning, starting with Abraham. Multitudes from Abraham to the prophets have risked all to live the life of faith, trusting in the finished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, as we look at the life of Moses, as summarized by the author of Hebrews, here we find that fundamental decisions will determine the quality of our life. And I spoke about that earlier. So we're going to see an example of that in Moses' own personal life. Point number one, like Moses, we must choose God's plan over our own. I'll repeat that again. Point number one, like Moses, we must choose God's plan over our own. So the plan of our own making may please us more, so we think. The plan of our own making may even seem to make sense when we try to rationalize it. So trying to improve God's plan by substituting, right, our own is epic failure. Start to rationalize. Okay, you know, it was the will of God for me to do this or do that, you know. So if you substitute that by your own pleasure, you will fail, period. How difficult it may be for us, our plans must always yield to his plan. So let's go to our media text, starting in verse 24. Like in this, my point number two for those who are taking notes. So like Moses, we must choose authenticity over prestige. Look at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So in verse 23, we see the repeating of the same statement about Moses' parents. So the writer Paul focuses in on the first stage of this patriarch's life. He alluded to the account in the second book of Moses, saying, if you could turn over to Exodus chapter 2. So this is the second book of Moses. So there are five books of Moses, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Okay, so this is the second book. So we're going to be focusing on the second book of Moses. Chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says, "And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her," by the way, this is where Paul is citing some of these Old Testament passages. He says, "And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water." Even Stephen added to this. And who was Stephen? He was the one that died at the foot of Saul. And he says, if we turn over to the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 21 and 22, And he says, and when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughters took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learnt in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deed. So the apostle reminds his audience at the first stage in Moses, demonstrate that the just shall live by faith, saying, when he was come to years. There was a time and a place for each one of us when we came to years. Okay? Literally, the text reads, when he became great, referring to his maturity and wisdom and might. So the Bible organizes Moses' lifetime of 120 years around around 3 40-year periods. The first 40-year periods refers to in Pharaoh's court. So if we look over there in Acts chapter 7, verse 23, we see where the Bible says, and when he was full 40 years, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And then the second 40 years, if you go down to verse 30, and we see this takes place in Midian's desert, where it says, and when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of the fire and in a bush. And in the last 40 years, we see there in verse 36, where it says, he brought them out. After that, he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. Okay? So my question to you, Bible Baptist Church members, if the Bible would summarize your life within that 78-year period, what would your biography be? The Lord is keeping an account on our lives since the time that we've been saved, and he will break down your lives, okay, in these areas. So what would it be? Just like we see in the life of Moses. So Moses' act of faith was to deny his prestigious national and social position of being in the royal family as an Egyptian prince. So from a worldly perspective, it may appear that he was giving up everything, right? All the prestige of a royal family, right? You think about that. Now, we might not think about that, but really, what was he giving up? Okay? So the things that we count on greatly in this world are of little concern of God. Doesn't matter. It has no significance to God. I can recall some, let me just adjust a little bit here, sliding off a little bit. Okay, where I've heard some that ask me, you know, well, we need to pray for such and such to win the Super Bowl. Right? I know, I had to laugh too. Okay, or, you know, the NBA title, you know, those things, okay, are of little concern of God. Little concern. So ultimately, we all have to settle the question of our own identity. Who are we? All right, the answer is that we are all God's, if you're a believer in Christ. Right? Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 20. So Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church there, members. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So that's point number one. Point number two. Point number three is this. As we go look at verse 25. And we go back to our immediate text, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. So like Moses, we must choose self-denial over pleasure. Self-denial over pleasure. Verse 25 says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. The man Moses made choices of faith, as Paul revealed, saying, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. So Paul uses this adverb, rather, right, with a little disjunctive participle, than, saying that Moses chose not to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We also see that Pharaoh afflicted the Israelites, okay, was the demonstration of superiority over the hatred for the Jews, as Moses recorded, saying, if we go back to the book of Exodus, this is where we see a lot of the citations, okay, of chapter 1, verse 11 to 12. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh's treasures cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. So as an Egyptian prince, Moses would have had the wealth, the prestige, power, and the wherewithal to pursue any and all pleasures that he desired. The hedonistic sins would have included vast materialism and gross immorality. And yet, to choose affliction over pleasure was a mark of a man who I would say was justified by faith. You see, folks, this might be shocking to some of you, but you know, sin is fun. It's fun, right? Otherwise, people wouldn't be doing it. We know it's the nature of sin, right? But it's fun for only a season, right? And the price we pay later is no fun at all, you know? I could testify to that, and I know some of you can as well. Sin is usually the easiest choice to make, right? But the path of least resistance is often a deadly road. Many lives have been ruined by the inability to say no to that which was dishonorable. I heard someone said, who was that, say no to drugs? Nancy Reagan? Say no to sin. Point number four. As we go back to our media text, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26, point number four, like Moses, we must choose heavenly rewards over earthly riches. So, verse 26 says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So clearly, the writer Paul of Hebrews revealed that Moses purposely ignored all the wealth and the pleasures surrounding him and looked it consistently and exclusively to the coming Christ. One of the seven blessings that Israel had was this messianic hope, as Paul affirmed in Romans chapter 9, if we could turn over there. Romans chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. Paul says, "Who are the Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Who are the fathers? And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen." Also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 4, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that have you, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did eat all that same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was who? Christ." So Moses had a life of faith, looking to the coming Messiah, even when it cost him dearly. When we look on the Savior's life in our own personal life, and as we try to follow and to be Christ-like, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. So Paul's audience, right, which was the Jerusalem Jews, right, needed this example here, right, of exhortation. They needed to hear this. So in Pharaoh's house, Moses, he would have all the riches a man could ever want. Look at the opulence, the pyramids. Moses could have had that kind of wealth. Moses could have been buried there in one of those magnificent tombs in Egypt. But instead, he was buried in an unmarked grave on a lonely hill somewhere in the desert. But still, he made the right choice. He's made some mistakes in his life that cost him, because he can go into the promised land. But that's just like us as well. We can't put old Moses down, because we do the same thing. We make right choices, and we make wrong choices. But there's a consequence for our choices. And it cost him dearly. He didn't make it into the promised land. But still in all, Jehovah God resided over his funeral. So, by way of conclusion, all right, all of us are faced with choices. Every last one of us. Even down to the children. We're all faced with choices. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 16. Verse 25. Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. Jesus says here, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Matthew 6:33. I know this is one of Andrew's favorite verses. Yeah. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So as we reflect back to the sermon on these four points that were given, okay, number one, like Moses, we must choose God's plan over our own. Number two, like Moses, we must choose to be authentic or choose authenticity over prestige. Like Moses, point number three, we must choose self-denial over our own personal pleasures. And point number four, like Moses, we must choose heavenly rewards over earthly riches. Remember, Bible Baptist Church members, and those who may be listening in online, the quality of your life is determined by the quality of your decisions. Yes, fulfillment is yours for the taking. The problem is, the choice is up to you. Will you live by faith or a life of unbelief, which Christ is superior over? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these truths in the scriptures as we examine the life of Moses and how the decisions that he made changed the course of his life. And yet, just like Moses, he made good decisions and he made bad decisions. And those bad decisions will cost us dearly. But we thank you, Lord, that you're a Lord of forgiveness and that we can repent of any of those sins that distract us from doing your will for our life. Give us peace, Lord, as we live your life. We pray that we will always be filled with the Spirit. Otherwise, if we're in the flesh, we'll fail. So I thank you for these truths that you had shared with me, and I pray that it was a blessing to the audience to whom I'm speaking this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.